It's the Nuclear Playground Podcast.
Ass like that. That was so fucking much, dude.
Police say freeze. Doing, doing, doing.
That was a hard one. He talks about his pee-pee. I feel very immature when I sing that song.
What is up, listeners? I'm Sprout.
I'm Jeremy.
This is the Nuclear Playground Podcast. Oh my goodness. Mic is too close to my face. Before we go any further, a quick salute.
A salute to you too, sirs.
That's some good rye. We spent so much time talking shit before we recorded. It's watered down. The ice is gone. G-O-N-E, but I'm still drinking.
Yep. Good old sip of the sippy sip.
So we've been sitting here chilling. We are 2 hours late hitting that record button because we had some rye. Yep. And we're about to smoke this here blunt and talk to you guys.
Talk to you guys.
I hope everybody enjoyed their weekend. I hope that everybody did not get COVID. And I hope everybody's still wearing masks even though that the mandates are over.
Dude, it has been a rough fucking last week and a half, man.
Dude, it's been tough. Like,
yep. Dark subject time.
Well, no, not quite yet, but I will get a little tad bit dark, but it's funny at the same time because I had this realization the other day because, you know, I work retail. I also work for a municipal store, so we're owned by a city.
Right.
So when the Delta variant spiked in our city, the city mandated that if you're in a city-owned building, you have to wear a mask. Now, all the private businesses are still like, oh, just, if you're vaccinated, you're straight.
Right.
But they're not considering the fact that you can still carry the shit.
Right.
The city's like, nah, B. So if you're in our building, you have to wear a mask. We have signs all over the doors. You can't miss them. There's like several of them on each window, several of them on each door. We have sandwich boards. I think we said this in another podcast, but we have sandwich boards that specifically say city mandate, you have to wear a mask, no service, right?
Right.
We're not assholes about it, but we do politely ask if you wear a mask. We do explain that in order to be in the store or to be served, you have to have a mask. Some people don't agree. Some people will be like, oh, I have a medical condition, which is bullshit, because there's no medical condition that prevents you from wearing a mask.
Wear a mask, right.
Just wear the fucking mask. But here's a realization I had is that if retailers would have known that we would have spent the last year and a half having to babysit grown-ass adults, I'm 100% certain that whoever's providing those masks, like we get our masks from the fire department because we're city-owned, but whoever's providing the masks for the private companies and shit,
right?
I'm pretty certain they would have provided Similac and diapers with them motherfuckers. Or like some kind of fucking Go-Gurts or some shit. Because I've legit spent the last year and a half, pandemic hit here in March. Yeah, a year and a half exactly. So that last, 18 months, I've basically just been like, you got a mask? Are you a big boy? You want to put your mask on? You wipe your own ass?
Yep, no, I still see it, but it's whatever at this point. I mean, I wear my mask, I keep my distance.
And you're not vaccinated, which you should be wearing your mask and keeping your distance. I'm vaccinated, and I'm still doing the same thing, because granted, everybody in my house is vaccinated. My mom is still older than me.
Right.
Her immune system is going to shit the older she gets. Right. I mean, it's fine now, because she's only 57, but it's gonna get bad at some point, you know what I mean? When she hits 70, 80, no, no matter what you get vaccinated for, you're still going to get that shit and you're still going to get sick. And there's still the potential that it might fuck you up.
Right.
The fact that people are out here on these streets just not even considering the fact that they should even protect themselves is proof that they'd rather forsake convenience over their health, over the health of their loved ones, over the health of the friends that they keep in their close circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They just don't give a fuck about nobody. And it's a basic rule of just being a human is just to give a fuck about other humans.
But that's the thing. I notice, with a lot of people, it's really their mindset. And a lot of people are set on just them. Some of them are just set on the immediate people that they're around. Some of them are set on just family.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are set on community. Some of them set on just the state or the city. Like, oh, I love my city. I love the people in it. People are like, I love this state. Some people are like, I love this country.
And some people are set on their rights.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah.
It's like, you ever like have a kid? You've got kids. I've got a kid.
I'm a kid.
We're lost boys. So you'll totally understand this analogy. Like, I'm going to go back to like an actual kid though.
Yeah.
Because you've got some young kids in your house right now.
Right.
I've had to deal with a young kid myself. Toddler, for example. Baby toddler. Old enough to understand the words that are coming out your mouth. You tell them they have to go to bed. They don't want to go to bed.
Right.
You finally get them into bed, and they start fighting that sleep. And it's mostly just because they don't want to be told what to do. And now you got some grown-ass adults who've probably spent their whole lives like, you can't tell me shit, you ain't my dad, tu es non pater. Yeah. And now they're like, fuck it, man, I don't want to be told what to do.
Just like
the motherfuckers who, like, if we set rules, there's always that motherfucker who's like, oh, I can't steal. I'll show you.
That's me right here.
Yeah, it's me all day. Like, it's, I mean, not stealing.
I just hate.
I mean, I have stolen, but like, you know, like,
yes,
okay, well, don't be an asshole to people. But why not? Some people deserve it.
Yep. Yep. I don't like to be told what to do by people that I feel are equal.
Less than.
Or no, I feel like they're equal because I'm a trash person and they're a trash person, but they're going to try to tell me how to be.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're not perfect people, and no. I'm not the best person.
No,
I grew up in that scumbag life.
Right.
But I want to be better than that. But I'm still kind of a dick to people. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's a habit.
It takes time to change.
But I do spend time doing kind things without any expectation with anything in return, because I don't want to be looked at as an asshole. I'm only an asshole when I have to be nowadays. So like when you have people just out on these streets, just being belligerently just abrasive and like just insensitive and inconsiderate, you gotta wonder, like, where does that come from?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's a lot of it's just like the lack of experience in doing shit outside of the normal. You know what what their normal is what they do, and anything outside of that is just, it doesn't matter. It's not part of their shit.
That's why I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I was gonna say, like, change is only evident right after accumulation of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That shit does not come overnight for nothing.
That's what I was about to say before I accidentally cut you off, is that if you can't expand your horizons and your worldview, then all you have is what's around you.
Yes, exactly.
And even if you don't leave the state, you still have the opportunity to expand those things. You can read about different things. You can actually talk to people from different places. You can,
right?
Well, that's, you can, you know, study.
That's where I was getting at with people's perspective. Like, if they haven't lived outside of their normal life and shit, it's usually themselves or the immediate people around them. That's their worldview. They don't think of anything outside of that and how it affects anybody. And then you got people who are like thinking about the entire world, and they see no borders and shit. And then some of them get a little hokey, you know?
Right, right.
But that doesn't mean they're not good-hearted people, and they understand, like, we're all on this fucking rock together. And this shit is going to hell in a handbasket fast as fuck. Like, the violence here, like, the gun violence has kicked up insane.
We'll lead into that in the.
But it's people don't give a fuck. And they don't care about anybody else but themselves. And I feel like it's also...
Where do you think it comes from, though?
I think, well, a lot has to do with the amount of people. I feel like there's so many people here that they don't have to care about anybody else because they have all these other people they can go to. More people. Like, you get rid of these people, how many people get ghosted? And there's just somebody else you can replace them with.
Yeah, but, I mean, okay, 20 years ago, there was, like, 3 billion less people.
Yeah.
And I think that mentality is, like, where it started then.
Yeah.
When we had too many people 20 years ago.
Yep.
But back then, like, if one of your friends got killed or ghosted out, like, you had one less friend. There wasn't the opportunity to create that. You know what I mean? I feel like it's not the amount of people. It's the amount of people who are failing at their job as a person who is supposed to guide other people. Be you a parent, a mentor, a relative, a neighbor, anything. You know what I mean?
And it has to do with a lot with social media, too, because, like, people aren't making the same deep relationships through fire like they used to, you know? now it's
which is
like,
really sad because I can actually make really solid relationships over social media, which I've have just
right.
Shouts to my boy Chance. This man had the most brilliant idea ever, which is to make a fighting game. And is it the story for it? He sent me the story for it. Phenomenal characters. Phenomenal. And I really want to work on this game with him. Like, I'm gonna design. I'm actually inspired to. And I met him over the internet. Like, mm-hmm. When I met him, he's going to school out east. He actually lives like southwest of here, like in the state, like state wise. But he's a solid dude. Like, whenever like he's going through some shit and he mm-hmm. posted on his timeline, I check in on him. Same thing with me.
Right.
He checks in on me. My boy right. Kelly, I met him on Tumblr like 11 years ago.
But that's the thing.
And like, and just because we have a mutual thing that we like, that's how we kicked off that friendship. And I've never met him in person.
But you're a 90s kid, though. Like, we view the same relationships that we have with people as we did back then with the people that we...
Well, that and in the 90s, not everybody had the internet. So like, right. If you met somebody on the internet, you were like... trying to build that relationship.
I didn't meet you
like,
on the internet.
No, but like, okay, for
you know
example,
what I mean? Like
you was at my crib in the 90s, like when I had my computer, we was yep. chatting it up with them chicks on right. Yahoo and shit. Yep. Them girls that we met in Australia,
yep.
they're still on my friends list. They pop up every now and again online, like, hey, how you doing? But that was 25 years ago.
But we're different people than the people that were born in 2000, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's a parent thing. Like, oh, it's, like I said, it's back to the people who are responsible for... Because mm-hmm. it takes a village. It's not right. just the parents. I won't blame just the parents. It's everybody who... Every close adult to that person.
I'm definitely going to touch on that when we touch on that gun violence subject because there's some shit I have, like...
But no one's teaching the people, like, a generation or two behind us how to build sustainable relationships.
No.
Because they have never built them themselves. Mm-hmm. No one's teaching the people... a generation or two behind us that we are actually supposed to care about the people around us because right. if we affect the people around us negatively, that affects us negatively.
Right.
It's just a clusterfuck of bullshit
it's
with these people.
Really,
man.
You know what I want to do one time is I want to come in here with a whiteboard and do like a web and go from there.
Let's get a fucking thumb board too, like a yep. tack board. We can like make a little string. Yeah.
Yep. Like boom, 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 boom.
We'll CSI the fuck out of that shit. We can do a whole like YouTube episode for that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down with that. We'll do a montage of research.
Yep.
Down with that.
Sweating and like keyboards and bloody fingers. Then we're like karate chopping fucking watermelons and shit out yeah. of, in the middle of it.
We'll get Jaren to whip up some analytics for us so we yeah. can like actually like, you know, put it in a, like a database and.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That
well,
sounds fun.
Are you ready for an Ask Reddit?
Sure.
All right. We only got one today, but this might take some time.
Okay.
Because I might actually scroll through these comments. I haven't looked at them yet, but the question is what caught my eye. It piqued my interest. And we've all seen Trainspotting.
Yes.
When they were doing heroin. And yes. they're like, it's better than sex rent.
Yeah.
Somebody actually asked, what is really better than sex?
Adrenaline rushes and accomplishment at the same time.
I could dig that.
Yep. Like if you can
like if you get the adrenaline and you accomplish something yep. while you build that adrenaline up.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Like cliff diving?
Yep. And that shit lives with me. When I bust a nut, it's like, ah, okay, it's over.
Well, that first nut lives with me forever.
No.
Cause that
but you know what I mean? Like yeah. the feeling goes away and then it's like, oh, post nut. Whereas like with the adrenaline rush, I'm like reliving that shit over and over. I'm like, mm-hmm. Mr. Brooks after he shoots somebody. I'm like, oh, you know, reliving it over and over. When I do some crazy shit, you know. And then.
Well, before you give me another one, I'm going to read this first comment I'd read. A cold glass of water when you're really thirsty or tired from physical activity. Eating your favorite food item from your favorite local restaurant mm-hmm. after not having had it for a long time. He gave us two.
Mm-hmm. The older I get,
the second one, the latter. Won't say it's better than sex, but it is very enjoyable. Like, dude, eating a food you haven't enjoyed in a long-ass time.
It really depends on the situation. Like, if I haven't eaten and I've been eating fucking garbage and whatever, and then, like, I'm super, super stoned and I'm out with my friends, and then all of a sudden, like, we hit the spot, and I'm, like, greasy burger face, living large, Harold and Kumar.
Actually, you know, I can't see that. Like, after, like, playing, like, 18 to 21 holes, yep. and then you go to that taco truck over mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm.
All taco?
That taco truck is my shit. they
got head meat, tongue,
and that pepper.
Shit. Yep.
I ate the pepper afterwards so I can jizz in the fucking remainder of the tortilla I have.
That is gross.
Here's another gross one. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get your second answer first.
Oh no, it was food.
Okay, I was gonna
say food, depending on how hungry I am. Like those long hard days at work where I'm busting my ass.
Actually, no, another food one is we've talked about this before because we both get the same way. Like in the mornings, especially like when you like don't eat and then you get so hungry that you feel like you're gonna throw up.
Yeah.
And then you just get that the junkiest of junk food. Yep. Oh.
I think. Oh, another one I have actually.
Go for it.
Is just before you go, just before you can, like you're out and you're dead ass tired and you can't sleep and you have all this shit to do and there's a bed and you get offered sex. And you can go lay down and comfort and be left alone. That bed looks super fucking nice, dude. And I think the older I get, the more of these I'm going to have.
So before I read this comment on Reddit, I have one.
What's that?
Personally. I personally enjoy waking up to somebody who's been sucking my dick for like the last 15 minutes mm-hmm. than the act of actually having sex.
Yep.
So much better than sex. Because you already wake up hard as fuck. Yep. You got to pee.
Yeah. Well, not just
and,
that.
Well, not even just that, but like your testosterone too. But yep. Usually it's like you got to pee and you've been holding it for so long. Like, you ever hold it for so long, you get a hard on just from holding it.
Yeah.
There's that.
A pee boner. Don't let it go to waste.
And if you fuck before you pee, you got the testosterone in you and you got like the closure of the urethra to keep you from peeing, but like it also keeps you from nutting for a good minute too, because like there's two different tubes, but it's the same hole, bruh.
That is super gross.
That is it's better. Like just the blowjob alone is better than sex, but then that's, actually having the sex afterwards after you nut.
That's how you get a UTI.
That's like that's better than two sexes.
Well, now there's a lot more than two sexes.
But anyway, it's a spectrum.
Okay, so no, all right. So the kids were asking me this shit, and like Ronald's a teenager now, right? Mm-hmm. And so he was asking some questions.
We're still talking about the sex thing, right?
Yes, okay. Yes. And he just brought up this spectrum thing. Like he brought up, there's only two sexes, right? But I know he's joking. But I'm like, I'm just forget all the politics behind everything, and everybody's list, right? There are hermaphrodites.
Yeah, like biologically, like you were born with them two bits.
So they are like not either. So there's definitely more than two, regardless of what anybody says.
Well, I feel like when you're born a hermaphrodite, it's like the essence of pure alchemy, for like a better metaphor. Is like alchemists like revered the androgynous because it was like the perfect form. It's like the philosopher's
Even
stone
in native
of
culture,
people. Yeah.
They're called Swiss so, like, spirit people.
Like, there are a lot of people who believe that like if you're born with both those bits, you're just the perfect human being. I would agree if both them bits worked.
Yeah, but we know.
But it's a matter of hormonal balance and all that stuff.
And then bits don't work. Or at least the
and a lot of parents, they don't even consider it. They're just like, nah, I wanted a boy. He's a boy.
Yep. So that
and
shit
then he ends up growing up trans anyway because he got a hormonal imbalance. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was a point I was getting to and I lost my train of thought because I started getting all science-y.
Well, we started talking about sex and gender.
I would think that if both bits worked on a hermaphrodite and that hermaphrodite fucked another hermaphrodite that had both working bits, that would be the ultimate definition of better than sex. Because it's double sex.
Yep.
Quadruple sex, if you think about it. It's like four people fucking.
Yeah. You know, if it worked, I would just, like, fuck myself.
Like Cartman's mom?
Yep.
Yeah.
Fuck myself.
Just smash them bits in there. If I had
bam,
long
bam,
enough.
Bam, bam,
if I mean, I mean, it is. If I had a pussy, I'd just smash
I would just
that
shove
shit right
it in
there,
right there, right, and like walk with my legs together, like. People, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'll make this ugliest man face that I can make. Ah,
if I was Rama Sal Tome, man,
I'd have
OnlyFans.
Fuck
nobody but myself. I'd have an OnlyFans for. I would have two OnlyFans accounts for both Ramas.
Right. Right.
Oh, so back to the what's better than sex thing. This motherfucker. This nasty motherfucker, maybe it's just him, but to me, it's painful. This motherfucker, not just even just painful, it's just uncomfortable and right. gross because you have to see the tooth afterwards.
Okay.
Getting a bad abscess tooth drilled out. I tried getting an emergency appointment over the weekend, but I was told I have to wait till Monday. Monday came, and I still remember that feeling of relief when it was drilled out. Lasted longer than any orgasm I ever had.
You know what?
He's got a tooth fetish.
Or pain fetish. Like, I've had pain, and, like, the relief of it, or, like, the endorphins going, like, that shit was, like, it's kind of, like, you know, what's the word? Psychedelic, almost.
I've never had an abscess, because that's just a crooked tooth. Like, you know, like, most wisdom's growing
yeah,
abscess.
Yeah, but I've had mine came fucking fine. Crazy pain.
But I've had infected teeth. Like, remember that time I was in here and my tooth was all fucked up and my shit was so bad that you and Jamie were yelling at me, like, go to the hospital. And I stayed here till, like, 3 in the morning because I just did not want to go.
Yep.
And I was like, fuck it, I'll drink and then I'll go home. I drank. I got really drunk. And the pain wore off until I got halfway between here and my house.
Yep.
Maybe a third of the way home is where the hospital is at.
Yep. I know.
I went straight to the hospital. Halfway home, I was like, I can't do this shit.
Yep.
Went to the hospital. I was like, my tooth is fucked up. I know exactly what it is. It's infected. I just need some fucking penicillin, and I'll be straight. Maybe, like, some Tylenol just so I can go to sleep. Doctor was like, oh, it's really bad. So she goes, I'm going to give you some Novocaine so you can actually go to sleep so you don't feel it. I'll also prescribe you some penicillin and some painkillers. You can pick them up tomorrow. I was like, bet. She put that needle in my fucking gums, like right in the infected spot. It felt like it was in the root of the infected tooth. And it hurt so bad that I balled up my fist and I almost punched this doctor right in her fucking eye. She pulled that needle out when my fist was like half a foot away from swinging. And she goes, when she pulled that needle out, I started crying and put my hand down. Like, I was legit like, and I told you about this, but the listeners don't know about this. She put her fucking finger, this is pre-pandemic, put her finger over my lips and said, shh, just rest now. It's all over. Oh, and walked God. Away, fully knowing that I was about to punch this bitch in the face. Like, she knew. She saw it, and then she saw me crying, and it was like, it's over now. And then left.
How hard did you get? No, I'm just kidding.
If she would have been a little younger, I probably would have been rock hard. But I was flaccid as a fucking dead fish before it gets hard. That shit hurt. It hurt so bad. I don't know what this motherfucker's into, but yep. No.
Yep. I mean, pain. And sometimes pain can, like, definitely get you somewhere. Definitely get you high. I know that much. When I get tattoos, I kind of get a little high.
Okay, let me find one more good one. Everybody's talking about this nigga's tooth now.
Oh, you know what else?
Let's go for our own personal opinion.
Sitting on the couch, playing video games, and not answering my phone when I'm depressed. That's better than sex.
Doing anything that involves me just making myself feel better yep. and ignoring everybody.
Yep.
Is the best thing in the world.
Yep.
The best thing in the world. Actually, another one. Not to sound all super sensitive and shit, but it's very akin to not doing shit with nobody and still playing video games. It's just coming over here and hanging out with you.
Oh, shit.
Way the fuck better than sex, because 90% of the time I'm depressed anyway. So just coming here and kicking it with you is really better than a lot of shit. Because actually, ever since I moved into my mom's, like a few years, like about 6 years back,
yep,
I just been dealing with like imposter syndrome because like I felt like my art wasn't good enough. Yep. I've been dealing with like the stress of expectations because now I'm an art director.
Yep.
I had to deal with being the only one responsible for production for like the first like 3-4 years of us doing this shit on like SoundCloud and stuff. You know, and my job, you know, just not making enough money at the time, and you know, just trying to be a dad. That shit really got to me. Like once I left out from like the comfort of like hanging out with my roommates all the time and just like just went back to being a responsible human being, that shit really fucked me up, B. And just like, and this is actually the first time I'm actually expressing this to you in general, like just having at least one consistent friend who's always there when I need them is super dope, because it fills all the needs but sex. And really, like, I've always been a person where it's like sex isn't important anyway,
right?
now I'm old. Now I'm like, I really want sex. But before I got old, I was like, fuck it. I'm just hang out with Charm.
Yeah. I'm a, keep going. I'm almost ready to come. No, I'm just kidding.
I knew it. I knew there was some serious bromance happening here. Let me get my fucking George Michael going.
That's my jam, dude.
But nah, man. Long story short, I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you too, man.
I got one more quick thing, and then we're gonna pay some bills.
Okay.
Where did it go? And this is a, actually we're gonna segue into our next bit, which is the long bit. This was about 9 to 12 hours ago. 11 injured. 3 critically in 7 weekend shootings in Minneapolis.
Yep. Yep.
And that pretty much leads us to our topic, which we're going to talk about in our next half, which is basically the overall crime increase here in Minneapolis. And yep. we're going to try to get to the bottom of what started it and why it continued.
Right.
So when we come back, we'll talk about that. We're going to pay some bills.
Yep.
You get to listen to our dorky anchor ad, and then we'll be back.
Yep, yep. The pirate.
Ass like that. You make my pee pee go.
Doing, doing, doing.
We're back. I don't know why we're stuck on that song today.
I don't know, man. We were just singing it like too much.
Yeah, we had it on repeat for a little bit before this episode, too. So maybe that's a problem. But, so where we last left off, we were talking about the crime in the city.
Yep.
Very vaguely. We left off with a headline, mm-hmm. which I'll repeat here. 11 injured, three critically in weekend shootings in Minneapolis. I'll read a little bit, a little tidbit of this article, just because this is what we started with here. 7 weekend shootings in Minneapolis left 11 people injured, 3 of them critically. At least none of them are dead, thank God.
Yeah, I know one of them. You know one of them personally.
That was in Minneapolis or... St. Paul.
St. Paul, that was CJ.
Yeah, but, well, that's probably another stat altogether, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. According to the Minneapolis Police Department, officers responded to reports of gunfire on the 2300 block of Bryant Avenue North. That's not far from here.
No.
Around 6:40 p.m. on Saturday. Less than 10 minutes after arriving, the officers received notice that a woman with an apparent gunshot wound was being treated at North Memorial Hospital. Wait, it was yesterday?
Yeah.
That's wild, man, because I saw cops. I took the long way home from the bus, so yep. I got off, like, right at the hospital.
Yep.
As soon as I got off the bus, cop cars were, like, in and out like it was, like, rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't even know that shit was going on. I didn't pay attention to Citizen at all.
It's been going on, like, crazy, like, just like Bud.
The woman is still in critical condition, and the police are investigating.
Yep.
Around 9:15, officers responded to Gold Medal Park in downtown, where they found a man who was apparently shot during a carjacking, and he was taken to the hospital in critical condition. Before midnight in Uptown, maybe I'll read this whole thing, because there's a lot of detail in here.
Yeah.
Before midnight in Uptown, a man and a woman, I'm assuming it was a couple, only just because I know a couple that were robbed just down, like, in Southside, like, right off of Franklin, off the light rail,
right.
like, a few years back. They were shot on the 1400 block of Lake Street West near Hennepin Avenue,
yep.
which used to be a really nice neighborhood. Police said both victims are expected to survive. Around 2 a.m. in downtown, police heard several gunshots near 7th Street and 1st Avenue South. Damn, that's like right where 1st Ave is, like the actual venue mm-hmm. and what block it used to be. It's just... I'm going Ryoga here because downtown gets weird once you stop going traditional north and south. Yeah. It's just west. Center. I'm sorry, east of Target Center.
Yep.
They found a man and a woman with non-life-threatening gunshot wounds, thankfully. Shortly after, they found another gunshot victim. That man was rushed to a hospital in critical condition. Police arrested 2 men in their 20s and recovered 2 guns. About an hour later, officers responded to the 2400 block of 10th Avenue South. Whereabout is that?
That's not too far from where I used to live.
Is that near the Pentagon? Like yeah. near Bloomington and shit?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
that's my dad's house. Okay.
Yep.
They found 2 crashed vehicles with no drivers. Oh, it's by the SA. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's actually more by where
it's a few blocks. It's a few blocks west of the SA.
You know that PPL building over there off of Franklin, just past 11th, where that woman stuck her baby in the oven.
Just off Chicago?
Yep,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah. So it's a few blocks west of Dada's.
Yep.
They found two crashed vehicles with no drivers. Two men with gunshot wounds were found nearby. Both are expected to survive. In two other shootings early Saturday morning, victims showed up at area hospitals of their own accord. Mm-hmm. That's fucking wild. And that was over the course of a couple days.
Yep. And of course, CJ and Dre were at a concert.
This was yesterday?
Last night, yes, at like 2 in the morning. And they got into it.
What venue was it? Do you know?
I don't know. I know I could get more details later, but I have to talk to Netta and shit. But
okay. Shouts to Netta.
Yep. But anyways, Dre and them were there. I don't know when, if it was before or after, in the middle of the concert. But they got into a fight. The dudes couldn't take an ass whooping and they left. Dre and CJ stayed. I don't know if they stayed much longer or if it was like I said, I don't know when it happened. But when they left the concert, those guys showed back up with guns and they shot up at TJ and or CJ and fucking Dre, and CJ got hit in the neck. And I don't know like if CJ fired.
Do you know what
back.
Condition CJ's in right now?
Critical. I do know.
How critical?
Well, he died for 10 minutes.
Is he still in the ICU?
So I'll go through what happened. He ended up in the hospital. He was dead for 10 minutes.
No.
Yep. They did emergency surgery on his neck and replaced. They grafted some arteries from his thigh and into his neck. And then they were just keeping him in to see if he would recover. And then he started getting bleeding in his brain.
Fuck.
And in his lungs. Or in his chest cavity. It doesn't necessarily mean lungs, but in his chest cavity.
Yeah. It's still internal bleeding of some kind.
And then so they took him, and they're going to put a stent in his brain to keep the swelling down and help the bleeding. And if his brain doesn't stop swelling in the next few hours or a day or so, because this is happening as we speak.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go down, then they're going to have to do surgery. And if they do surgery, it could cause memory loss. And also, he could be paralyzed from the left side.
Well, just from day one, surgery is risky just because of where he got shot.
Yep. But also, they did tap him. And they asked him if he could hear them.
He's responsive?
Yes. Wiggle his toes. And he wiggled his toes.
So there's a sign of hope. Because he's responsive.
Yes. He's not completely brain dead. He's there enough to respond. But he's just like, they had to take him out of his medically induced coma. And I think they put him back in it.
Okay.
He's not out of the woods. I'm hopeful. We're all hopeful. But, you know. And then.
For our listeners, the reason why we're so concerned about this particular duo. It's the individual in particular, because he's the one who got shot. But Dre as well, because Dre's seen some shit before. But.
Dre got
These guys are family to us. You know, like we've been technically family in their family. Like we've dated women in their family. And, you know, we've never stopped being a part of that family. We're always involved. We always, you know, check in on everybody. And, you know, these guys are like particularly young. Right. And, like they're like fresh into their 20s by now.
Dre didn't get shot, but he ended up going to jail.
Dre went to jail?
Yeah. Well, him and CJ ran, right, together. And then
after the shooting?
Yes, when CJ got shot, they took off running together. And then Dre said he felt like CJ wasn't with him, and he looked and he wasn't. So he ran back to the scene to go find CJ, and that's when the cops picked him up.
But why did Dre go to jail?
Because they said he had a gun on him or some shit. I don't know if he did or he didn't, but he got locked up and
he was at the scene of a shooting and
It's a probation violation because he's out on probation or parole. I don't know which one.
But how did he violate his probation?
Because they said he had a gun on him. And
but did he?
That's what the police said. You know how that works.
That's some bullshit, because the police can just say you have a gun on you for no reason. The police tried to say me and Corey had a gun on us that one time, and we did not. Yep. I've never owned a gun in a day in my life.
Right. But yeah, no. And then the bullshit that happened to Bud or like Harvey, Lori's godson, or, you know, he got shot up. And I guess what it was a a fully automatic handgun, and as he was driving by, they shot him.
Those exist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Glock 19s, Glock 17s.
Like a handgun that goes brat.
Yeah, I could dump an entire...
Not 30, like an Uzi, but like a pistol.
Yeah, I could dump an entire 30-round clip in less than a second. Like, gone.
No kick?
It's not accurate. So what happened was they shot him through the window, and as he was driving by, it just ripped up the car on the way down. And then he went flying onto the off-ramp on Lindale, or 49th and 94, basically. It's all over the TV.
Do you remember when Trey got shot a few months back, Billy's kid?
Yep.
I found out what that was over, because we didn't know, even Billy didn't know what it was over at first. He ended up getting shot in his car, just for a refresher for the two of us. He had to do surgery. He recovered just fine. Luckily, he didn't have to get a colostomy bag, because they did clip some digestive organs.
Right.
But they found a way to, like, graft some stuff to some stuff, and he's fine. His intestines are shorter, so he'll have to shit more often. But other than that, he's fine. But apparently, he was just kicking on the street, you know, in a car, smoking with his boy. Some niggas rolled up and thought he might have had some fentanyl or some other shit, and he did not, obviously. But, like, they, for lack of better terms, in the heat of disappointment, these niggas shot him, and... This is the fucked up part about the whole thing. You know, since we're talking about this recent violence, like, me and my stepmom Lori been talking about this ever since I can remember. Like, anytime we get something nice in the hood and I bring it up, and I bring up a concern about how it may or may not get fucked up, because, yes, it's good for the community, but the community's kind of fucked up right now.
Right.
She goes, well, you know, niggas can't have nothing nice. And, you know, I used to always take it as a joke in my earlier adult years. The more Lori and I talk about it, the more I pick up on what she's saying. Because even, like, when I talk about, like, niggas getting robbed, or, like, I haven't had a chance to talk to her about when my brother Denzel got shot.
Right.
But, you know, me and my dad and my brother were all in the hospital with my brother Denzel when he got shot in the back, like, a year or two ago. And, you know, I felt Lori in my head, like, this is why niggas can't have nothing nice. You know what I'm saying? Because Denzel, you've met my brother Denzel, man. He ain't no trouble starter, man. Like, yeah, he's, like, into the culture, you know, as far as, like, that whole hip-hop culture thing.
Right.
Yeah, he smoke weed, he drink, he like to party and shit like that. But he ain't never been no gangster. He ain't never had no gun on him. He ain't never started no shit with nobody. Aside from his height and the fact that, like, if he does get mad because of his height and his stature, you know, he could be a little bit intimidating if you didn't know him.
Like Joe Pesci?
No. Am I a joke, like, to you? There could be concern that, like, if he was, like, say, like, white dude in Bloomington, and he was just like, fuck you looking at you, you might be a little scared. But, like, he was out there in what we call the sticks, which isn't really the sticks, it's like right there by Olsen School.
Right.
At my grandma's old house, like, Lori's mom's old house, and she's still my grandma, but either way, it's all family. They're all kicking it at the crib.
Right.
And I guess he was taken off, and I don't remember exactly where he was at, but he got into a confrontation with some niggas, and they shot him in the back. They grazed his kidney. Minor surgery, he's fine. But, you know, just hearing my mom's voice in my head, like, niggas can't have nothing nice. Like, I got robbed a bunch, and that's the first thing I resort to, is niggas can't have nothing nice. And now I get it. It's because, like, you do something nice for the community in hopes that the community appreciates it. But then you get them abrasive ass niggas that don't give a fuck. They had no proper home training.
Right.
Their parents ain't around.
Right.
And they want that nice shit for theirs instead of sharing it with the community.
Right.
And then you have niggas who don't want to work to earn their shit.
Right.
But they want money. They want to get bands. And then me or some other random unfortunate nigga got to go home in the same community that they live in, because I'm from there too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been born and raised on these streets, and I've always had proper morals about me because my parents have taught me work ethic and responsibility and the importance of a dollar.
Right.
And not everybody's parents are doing that. And I'm not finger pointing, and I'm not exercising self-loathing here. I'm just exercising the truth here, which is some people don't know no better, and as a result of this ignorance, they feel like the only way they can get money is by taking it from other motherfuckers. Or the only way they can get something nice is by fucking up some other shit.
They don't.
You know what I'm saying?
There's no good role models right now. Like, and even if the role models are around, like, they're not around. They're not interacting with fucking people. Like, over here, you see, like, guys who are like 40, 50 year old gangbanging, right? Old as fuck.
Old as fuck.
They ain't got nobody around and they ain't banging hard. They're just having barbecues and chilling. They ain't talking to these young motherfuckers out here.
We know old ass nigga who used to be gangbanging, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. he's still rep. If you like someone asks him, he'll rep, but yeah. He's not technically, he really ain't in that gang no more. Like, he retired. He hung up his jersey.
But
my pops used to be on them streets gangbanging, you know what I'm saying? He don't be doing that shit no more. He might talk some good shit when he's drunk, but
I think it's like there's a lot of fucking factors, but like
my bio pops, for those of you who know yep. that I have two dads,
yep.
not the dad who raised me.
Yep.
That's where I learned all my good shit from.
But what I was saying was like, people, they don't have families or they don't have the right people showing them shit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have good role models at all, and they got all this crazy shit they're looking up to, and that becomes a regular. And then on top of that, they don't got any aspirations and other than what the fuck they're doing. And they got other motherfuckers who just hate if you do try to do something different.
Oh, and the hate is loud as fuck right now. And yeah. that's the third part that I missed out on that I actually really didn't notice until you brought it up. Like, niggas is sipping on Haterade
yep.
by the gallon.
Yep.
And it's not even about whether they want it or not sometimes. It's just about the fact that you're doing better than them.
Yep.
And That's the fucked up part about it, is that life ain't no competition. Like, you just have to work hard and do right by others, and good things will come to you.
Right.
And a lot of people don't see that shit because
right. they don't have anybody showing them that yeah. shit. Right.
That's why I remember, like, about 5-6 years ago, we had that conversation in front of my old apartment with Eric and Tony, right. where we were talking about starting that men's club.
Right.
And how we were trying to make sure it's not like a, you know, like, Superman, no girls allowed type thing, but like, you know, right. just being like positive role models in all facets of being a man, and right. not just like a gender role specific thing, but right. like, you know, showing men that there are other things that you can do as a man
right.
that are fulfilling.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And like I was saying, like I said earlier, like, experience is like the key to growth. Like, you were out there doing all this new shit. You're getting a different perspective. You're getting like all of this
mm-hmm.
growth that happens, and then you can fucking change. But the same shit doing
that
this
goes
shit.
Back to expanding your whole like horizons and your worldview yep. and like learning yep. more about the things. Not even just like in your local area, but just like if I went into Billy's neighborhood right now,
mm-hmm.
and I just talked to like the first nigga I see on the street about Afghanistan.
Yeah,
how much information do you think I'm gonna pull out of him?
Right.
Because how many niggas in our neighborhood right now are closely tied to the news?
Right.
It's mostly cats our age at this point. Because
right.
it's usually when you get to our age, that's when you start to give a fuck about your surroundings and what's going right. on in other countries.
Right. Well, I mean, like we've built up that perspective. You know, we have the concept of time is like mm-hmm. so relevant to us now versus when we were younger. You know what I mean?
But, you know, when we were younger, there was a lot of shit happening that forced us to be aware of things that were going on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was like
there was
the
Iraq
fire.
War.
Yeah.
There was the whole Clinton administration, or the whole Clinton election that we yeah. had a lot of mock elections for in a lot of schools.
All the sensationalizing of the fucking crazy killers out there.
There was
Andrew Cunanan.
Rodney
like
King.
All that fucking OJ.
Which also killed my dream of being a cop.
Those two, those twins that killed their fucking parents in California.
The Menendez brothers.
Yep.
There was the kids that divorced their parents.
We had fucking what's his name,
OJ
Ray Romero, right? Ray Romero or whatever his
oh,
name.
Yeah, we had Waco.
Yep.
We had we've seen a lot of fucked up shit. So
they showed us.
We
all
were
of that.
Forced to watch yeah. 60 Minutes most of our lives. Yep. We're like a lot of these cats that are younger than us, like
mm-hmm.
a half a generation. Technically, like I can't even say one generation because right. A lot of people our age that had kids
yep.
had kids hella early. Those kids are yep. almost our age.
And there's less people getting away, or there's more people getting away with shit because there was no cell phones or nothing to record it,
mm-hmm.
and things that happen like crazily were just happenstance. They weren't planned out like they are nowadays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There was no social media
like that
plot shit.
That riot that happened on 26 when that little kid got shot when the cop was shooting at that dog and mm-hmm. shot that 2-year-old in the leg or whatever. Everybody flipped out and that shit happened right there. Nobody got called there. Everybody just was there.
Can you imagine if motherfuckers on the right side of politics, voters, tried to storm the Capitol in 1992? Mm-hmm. In 1990, anything.
Yeah, I feel like
they would have had piss poor planning of the highest level, and they would have all got tear gas and shot up like they was us over south when George Floyd got killed.
Yep, and it would have been okay because it was a different time back then. Look at Waco.
You know what's funny is that's always the excuse, no matter how far back you go in history. Yep. Somebody's always like, it was okay back then because it was a different time in history. Yep. But they don't acknowledge the fact that it was still fucked up.
Yep. But them bees the breaks. That's what we grew up with, you know?
Mm-hmm. But back to what we're actually talking about here, which is the current uprising in violence here in Minneapolis, which I'm certain is happening all over the country.
Right.
I'm pretty certain, at least here, if it we hit a boiling point last year.
Yep.
Because you got to think, like, there was 2 years in a row where an unarmed black man was killed for no reason. And then that third year, which was last year when it happened, we weren't letting nobody get away with that shit.
Right.
Nobody was letting nobody get away with that shit. But the only people who were violently angry about it was us. You know, like the minorities, the darker folk, and you know, once the riots slowed down, you could start to see that there was crime behind all that.
Yeah,
because
taking advantage of that.
Yeah,
shit.
And people are still taking advantage of that shit. And as time went on, the statistics got worse and worse. But only because there were other statistics that were changing. Like, for example, they put all four of those cops in jail, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Crime didn't stop.
No.
But why did that happen? Because when they put those four cops in jail, a lot of cops were like, my job is at risk.
Yep.
Especially when motherfuckers were attacking, like, the police union.
Yep.
Which should have still been an ongoing battle. I don't know why anybody was like, okay, I'm tired, let's stop. Why is Bob Kroll still in charge?
Right.
why is, on a federal level, police... Why are police, like, just immune from shit? You know what I mean?
Right.
Even, like, different states have different police bylaws for, like, their unions and shit. But federally, it's the same shit. Like, police are, like, they have, like, if they were foreigners, they'd have diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, basically.
But it's starting to change now.
Yes, which is great.
But even though we're seeing those changes, the crime isn't stopping. And why is that?
I got a few
more
theories.
Cops are quitting their jobs.
Yep. And the lack of police presence here at all.
Well, look at Brooklyn Center. So we got, what's her name? Officer Kim whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The officer that shot Dante Wright. Brooklyn Center's struggling right now.
Yep.
Like, super hard. Yep. A lot of their cops quit.
Yep.
Their criminal, what do they call it? The criminal something specialist. Yeah. Like, their criminal activity specialist or whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like the gangbuster of Brooklyn Center. She, and I think I mentioned this in another episode, she wrote a really fucked up email that to the mayor and attached it to, like, literally everybody and defended that cop and also said the mayor defended criminals, which I still can't decipher. Like, does that mean he's defending black people, or does that mean that he's defending literal criminals?
I don't know.
And are those criminals also cops?
That guy did commit a crime, but that doesn't mean you shoot a fucking dude. And, like...
And that crime was old hat. They were trying to stop him for a warrant.
Yeah.
You don't shoot a nigga because you wanted to fucking drive away. You stop him with a pit maneuver or some shit, and then you arrest him and take him to jail.
Well, okay. Now, I have something just to be devil's advocate. This guy was drinking, and he had, like, a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old in his car.
Which guy?
This just happened recently, like a couple, like within the last week in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the police pit maneuvered him and they flipped the car and the 12-year-old got killed. They were asking why did they do a huge police pursuit when there was kids in the car and why did they pit maneuver him? Now, there was no kids in the car that I know of, but there was other people in that car and... I don't think it's okay to risk other people's lives just to pull somebody
over.
Almost
those people are in on the crime.
They're riding in a car. That's not a crime.
No, I'm saying, like, if there was a crime and you're in an actual chase and you have to be
talking
maneuvered.
Specifically, like, talking Dante Wright, you know, when that lady shot him, you know.
Mm-hmm. There were other passengers in the car, were there not?
Yes.
Oh, so, yeah, that's a different story altogether. And that makes it even more fucked up because, okay, one, you claim that you mistake to have a taser.
Yep.
Even though it's lighter and it's yellow.
And it's smaller. It's
just different shape entirely.
And the light comes out of it when you fucking pull the thing for
yeah,
it to
and
get
not, like,
tri-
noise
to
and
be
a flash.
Activated.
Yep. You have a passenger in the car.
Yep.
You fire bullets. And the best reaction you have is, oh, fuck.
Yep.
Like, not like, oh, my God, I almost killed, like, a whole other person on top of the person I killed.
Yep. It is crazy.
So, yeah, we have a lack of police presence. We have a lack of the community policing itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I, a lot of it comes from fear, which I understand.
Yep.
But I'm at the point now, like, because I've experienced that fear as a young kid. We lived in Minneapolis in the 90s when it was way worse, before it got as bad as it is now.
Yep.
Like, we had a really bad time, then it got really good, to the point where niggas on YouTube who are, like, looking at YouTube videos of niggas driving through our hood are like, you have a clean-ass hood. Rowena, who came from Detroit, dirty-ass Detroit.
Yep.
I love Detroit, but, I mean, it's got some issues, infrastructure-wise. came to our hood, this very neighborhood, and I toured her around where I grew up and all that shit. And I was like, yeah, this is the hood. It gets a little rough sometimes, but, you know, it's winter, so we should be chill. She looks around. She goes, y'all niggas got a clean-ass hood.
Yep.
But we I was like, you ain't seen the crime, though. That's what I'm concerned about.
The craziest thing is these random-ass white people I see walking around the neighborhood with bags.
Picking up garbage
picking
and
up
shit.
Garbage. Yep.
Just like over on the parkway, like just like a couple blocks west of here.
Yep.
They it's like random white people trimming fucking hedges and like picking up garbage and it's the funniest shit to me. Like they
think about
the
that property value.
Does that shit.
Yep. Think about that property value. Shit, like my yard is the worst yard in the neighborhood or on the block.
So there's a lot of fear that's sprung back in the neighborhood because like everybody's aware that there's not enough cops. Mm-hmm. And if you call the cops, there's a very slow response time now. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's on them streets committing crimes has a gun.
Yep.
Or a weapon of some kind.
I heard some shit about
that. Or they
can
throw them hands.
Well, that doesn't matter because now they're shooting motherfuckers regardless. Like, Harvey isn't a gangbanger. He was just associated with the people that were, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, you just got saw talking to somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's a fucking kindergarten teacher, you know.
Like, he's doing he's trying to do right by people
by
default.
Right. And the thing is, what I heard through the grapevine is that it's open season on anybody who's... It's like a war right now in the streets with these gangs.
But open season on who?
On anybody in any gang. Like, if you're there... Like, the people on Broadway are probably the same people that had the beef with fucking... You know, the people over here that were shooting, or that person that got shot up in the barbershop, or the person that got shot in the fucking store.
Or whoever
store.
Got shot a few blocks northwest of here, like what was like 10 months ago. I was like in the middle of summer. I was walking from my house to go catch the bus to my job. And I have to pass some fashion of your neighborhood to get through there.
Mm-hmm.
I was about maybe like, I passed the parkway. I got to like the very western edge of the animal hospital. So I was maybe like 6 blocks away from here. I was on the phone with Rowena. We were just talking shit about just random motherfuckers that we don't really know. Just, you know, just talking shit about just plebeians and troglodytes and shit. And I heard some gunshots while I was mid-sentence talking to Rowena. And I had stopped talking. She was like, what's wrong? And I was like, you didn't hear that? She was like, no. I was like, I just heard somebody light off like 8 rounds. And then I had to count how many shots I heard in my head, like match the rhythm of the shots I heard. And I was like, yeah, it's totally 8 rounds. She was like, where are you? I was like, it had to have been like a few blocks just east of me.
Right.
She was like, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine. And as I said that, because I was still walking east, I said, I'm fine. And I saw the nigga who was lighting off them rounds. And mind you, this is real time. So in all this time between like me hearing the rounds and talking to Rowena and seeing this dude run, total of maybe like 45 seconds. So I'm, you know, telling Rowena I'm fine, all this shit. And as I'm telling her that, I see dude taking off on like 29th and what's the street just after Broadway? If I'm going this way.
After Broadway?
Yeah, that's Thomas, right?
After Broadway? What do you mean?
If I'm on Broadway, if I'm on the west side of Broadway.
Over here.
Yeah,
okay.
If I'm on the west side of Broadway and I'm going east.
Yes.
What's the eastern side of Broadway? The block next. Is that Thomas or Sheridan?
I think it's Sheridan.
So, yeah, it's Sheridan. It had to have been Sheridan. So, wait, Queen?
Russell?
No, it was Thomas.
Thomas, so, okay, by the church?
Yeah, so, no, just, I was by the church.
Okay.
Sort of by the church. He was by, like, a half a block away from the Laotian Center. Mm-hmm. Took off north on Thomas into the alley between Thomas and Sheridan and ran towards Lowry, right? So I'm like, nope, I'm not going that way. Because, one, I don't want to see no dead bodies. Two, I don't want to see no frantic people. Three, I don't want to be considered the suspect.
Right.
Four, I'm not trying to get shot. So right. I said, Rowan, let me call you back. Called my boss. Was like, yo, niggas is shooting. I might be late. I'm about to take the longest route to my bus stop.
Right.
Turned south on Broadway. Walked all the way to fucking 26th. Went up to Queen. Walked past your house. Went down 27th, went north, and then made it to 29th and waited at the bus stop.
Damn, zigzagged.
And this was maybe a couple months after George Floyd. But ever since the whole George Floyd thing, like, everybody's just been, like, on edge. Yeah. On edge. Like, we've got city council trying to put in this peace force and give them, like, the same power that the police had.
Right.
Which is a mistake because I said this before. You give the wrong person the authority, already, they're going to fuck niggas up.
They already did. Like, that one dude, one of them Peace Force guys, beat the fuck out of this homeless Asian dude in front of Cub Foods or Target, was working his ass. And then he
and
got...
it's no different than that cop that was pissing on Native dudes, like, what, like 10, 20 years ago? 10, yep. 15 years ago? Yeah.
Right. So he got arrested after that shit, right? And now they're asking for the ability to whoop people's asses, basically.
And you know what's ironic about the Peace Force wanting to be granted, like, violent force and or weapons,
yeah,
is that Brooklyn Center, after the killing of Dante Wright and like the outrage that happened in the city and all the looting, all that shit, city council was like, you know what, we should just fucking have unarmed officers for traffic stops, and we should also send people along with the officers who are specialized in mental health for mental health issues, but also unarmed. With the mental health thing, I'm with it. With the unarmed officer and the mental health like advocate and or liaison.
Right.
Unarmed traffic stops. I've talked to several people in the city I work for. Mm-hmm. I have talked to several non-essential people in general. I have talked to other people who have entertained the thought of that here in Minneapolis.
Right.
And all of us have reached the same conclusion, which is, I don't know. And it's always because there's that variable.
Right.
Where you have this unarmed officer mm-hmm. who stops a dude mm-hmm. over a minor traffic stop, right? Like, he expired tabs or, like, fucking... Right. For even some dumb shit that you shouldn't even be getting stopped for, like, here in Minneapolis.
Out there collecting,
like,
that money.
Like, you're missing a fraction of your fucking taillight. Which, here in Minneapolis, they're stopping now, thank God. Like, no more minor stupid shit, like, get a fix-it ticket.
Right.
But, if I'm an unarmed officer, right, and say you're just a very disgruntled male,
right,
and you happen to have a permit to carry, right. Say you don't have a permit to carry, but you're carrying anyway,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. Those are still variables. I stop you. I say, do you know I stopped you? You might be on some illegal shit, despite the fact that you're carrying.
Yep.
And you don't know why I'm stopping you, but you got some ideas in your head, right? Yep. I'm just stopping you because your tab says April and it's fucking May.
Right.
I go, do you know I stopped you? You go, I'm not going back to county. And then you bust a cap in my ass because you know that we have unarmed officers
in town. I'd be,
you know,
so
and
much.
Even if we had armed officers, you've seen the videos of motherfuckers who get stopped. And there's a officer armed to the teeth, but his weapon ain't drawn. He's just like, hey man, I'm stopping you because plow.
Right.
Or, hey man, I'm stopping you because I think you might be intoxicated. And dude might even be intoxicated. And because he's intoxicated, he's like, I ain't going without a fight.
That's what, that's like, that weird gray area where you see that asshole cop that puts the gun to my fucking ear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the I didn't even see the cop. You know how I have my hands always out.
Which cop are we talking about? Because this happened a couple times with you.
This happened when me and Earl got pulled over here on fucking Newton, or Knox, excuse me.
Did you tell me about this?
Yeah, because that's when they towed my car and they ruined my whole fucking life.
This was when you were living over South still, wasn't it?
No, this is when I lived just on the
other side. Oh, over there, like, right by where Gina used to live.
Yeah, about 27, 26.
I remember
26.
That. When Terrence had moved in for a little bit. Yep. Yeah.
But when we got pulled over, immediately the cop put the gun in my ear and he was yelling at
me. Like dead in your, like the hole of your ear?
Right behind my ear. Like, and it fucking hurt. He was like, tink. And he was like, put your, like, my hands were already out the window. And he was like fucking ordering me to do shit. And then I'm like, he's like, where's your license and registration? And I'm like, I'm going to reach for my wallet so I don't get shot.
Was this before or after you learned to put your hands out your window when you get pulled over?
This is I already learned. So I was already with my hands out the window. Okay. I was way ahead of him. My hands out the window. And he still did that shit, right? This big, like, 6'4" black fucking cop, right? Bam. And then he was like,
is that the same cop that they put in jail?
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyways.
Comeuppance.
He did that shit, and he was screaming and yelling at me, and I never had a chance if I was to pull a gun. So at that part, like, it makes sense to me as somebody who's like a cop, if they're fucking crazy. But at the same time, I'm like, that's no way to garner respect.
I told you about the time me and Matt were running late, or I was running late for work, and Matt was offering me a ride.
Yeah,
and we had pulled maybe 10 feet out of Matt's driveway, and as soon as we pulled out the driveway and made it 10 feet, there's a cop car in the turned in the fucking north side of fucking 29th and DuPont in the alley, came down the street, immediately pulled us over. So they claimed that they ran our tabs and that we were driving a stolen vehicle from some fucking buttfoot state, like fucking a Carolina of some kind. And it was South Carolina, actually. It was the buttfuck state. I actually care for North Carolina. Shouts to Durham. But they said we were driving a stolen car from South Carolina, even though we had Minnesota plates
in
recent tabs.
Right.
Matt had just bought that station wagon like 2 weeks prior to this. You know exactly which station wagon I'm talking about.
The Blue Bomber.
Yeah. So we're genuinely confused. Right. Matt puts on his, because you know Matt likes the code switch. Matt put on the most "do you know who my father is" voice. And was like, I don't know what you're talking about, officer. And they're like, well, get out the car, we'll sort this out. So, you know, that car in particular didn't have a working door handle on the passenger side, on the inside. So Matt gets out on his side normal.
Right.
The other cop, he's on 10. This motherfucker's like, we're going to bust some perps. I don't give a fuck how we do it. I'm going to do it.
Right.
So he comes up to my side. He's like, get the fuck out the car. And I was like, all right, chill out.
Yep, good cop, bad cop.
Sort this out. You see, they're calm over there. We'll sort this out. I'm just trying to go to work, B. He's like, all right, get out the car. So I'm rolling the window further down, and I explain to him, this door doesn't work. I have to open it from the outside. I have to reach out and open it from the outside. He says, okay. I continue to roll the window down. As soon as I get the window all the way down, he grabs the back of my hoodie and proceeds to pull me out the car.
Yep.
And I was like, did I not just explain to you that I have to open the door from the outside?
Right.
Puts the gun directly in the center of the back of my head, like where the soft spot would be if I was a grown man and I still had a soft spot.
Right.
Pulls me straight out the window like it was nothing, like I'm a rag doll, just whoop. And still managed to keep that gun pointed to my head until I stood up. And he was like, where's your ID? Okay, I'll grab it for you. I reach for my ID. Slaps my hand away like fucking, like we're playing squash or some shit. Just pat, knocks my hand away.
Yep.
Pulls my wallet out.
Yep.
And starts going through my shit. Starts questioning me as if it's my fucking car. And I explain to him, like, yo, I was with him when he bought the car. I know it's his car. Y'all are tripping.
Right.
Matt don't have a gun pointed to him. I got a gun pointed to me. Matt's yelling at the cop, like, do you know who my father is? And I'm like, I just want to go to work. Long story short, they let us go. They were like, my mistake. We ran the wrong numbers on your plate. Matt ran in the house, fucked up his driver's license and sat down and proceeds to roll a blunt, and then we go to work. But the cops have always been on one, and it's about time that they're getting their comeuppance.
Yeah.
But I would like to know where the rest of the crime is coming from. It can't all just be like it's 2020/2021. The cops ain't here no more.
We need to evict 90% of the people from Chicago out of this.
It's mostly these Chicago niggas.
There's a ton of them.
But it's actually, I'd say 50% Chicago niggas, because the Minneapolis gangsters got respect for their surroundings.
Right.
As of 2001. As of 2001, nobody's set tripping. Nobody's trying to fuck nobody up. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it still happens.
It still happens, but it's usually over some stupid beef. Right. It's personal shit usually, like a crime of passion of minimal proportions. Ever since I started at the liquor store, once a year I hear at least one nigga go, "Bitch, I'm from Chicago, I will kill you." And in fact, we got involved in an investigation with the police because some nigga said, "Bitch, I'm from Chicago, I will kill you," showed up at the transit station in Brooklyn Center, aimed at the dude he was beefing with, shot his homeboy that also was at the scene when he said, "I will kill you."
Yep.
Took off. Police showed up and was like, "We need to gather your footage because we believe that the dude that was in your store had a scuffle." Shot some dude the next day. They get the footage. They go and find the dude. They catch him. Hopefully they deported him back to Chicago. Chicago needs to be its own country.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is really fucked up. I love Chicago. I love Chicago so much. Every time I go to Chicago, I have a great time. The people there that aren't violent are wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful people. I have best friends that are living there right now. Carlos.
Yeah.
My nigga Carlos is living out there. Coop's living out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I made some wonderful connections out there when I did my first show out there with JT and the Sloppy Seconds. Because, JT's a fucking Chicago nigga. But he's special. He's one of them special niggas. My boy Corey, he works at my job. He's from Chicago. Moved up here in, like, the early aughts. I'm about to get a beverage. My throat's getting dry. But one of the smartest dudes I know. Firefighter in the Air Force.
Right.
Continued that career in college by pursuing to be a fire safety engineer. Right. So when he graduates, he'll actually be like a full-on, like fully fledged engineer. He's getting his engineer license. He's trying to design fire safety systems for buildings and other things. And him and I, this is what took me so long to get here when I got here. We ended up smoking a joint in front of my house. And we were just talking about, like, you know, what he's been up to and stuff. And he was bitching about how he couldn't get the in with Brooklyn Center because he's trying to do the fire safety for our liquor store.
Right.
And he talked to Jake and not me, because I could have given him a solid connect.
Right.
So he talks to Jake, and Jake, you know, he's like, "Well, I think the fire department handles the fire safety here," which is a complete bluff. Like, whoever installed our fire safety system was not the fire department.
Right.
So Jake was just, you know, shooting from the hip, making educated guess. I won't say an assumption, because, you know, Jake wanted to be the next crime specialist for the police.
Right.
And he talked to Tom because Tom's got connections, because Tom's hired way the fuck high. You know, Tom works in City Hall. We don't.
Right.
So he went and talked to Tom. Tom was like, "I got to connect. I'll pass your resume to them."
Right.
I don't know the story about Jake beyond that. But if Jake would have, you know, just had that thought. So I told Corey that. I was like, "Jake should have told you that shit. Like, I talked to Tom." Anyways, Corey's a solid dude. He's from Chicago, well-educated, super funny dude, pulls mad bitches. I'm also living vicariously through him. So it's not everybody from Chicago, but it's the ones who are definitely affiliated in some kind of crime organization. Or just violent niggas in general, you know what I mean?
Right.
I wish I knew what the other source was, because there are some local problems, and most of them are in St. Paul. CJ and Dre being a prime example of them being involved in that incident. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I got a Citizen app up right now, and like once an hour, something's popping off in St. Paul. Someone's getting stabbed. Someone's getting shot.
Right.
But every other hour, something's happening here too. Right. Give you a good example of some recent shit. We're going over our intended time, but it's cool. We're not gonna go terribly long. we're only slightly over anyway. 38 minutes ago, about, I don't want to do the math, so I'm just going to estimate about 12 blocks away from here south, west-ish, okay. south-southwest. 20th and Russell. You know where it's at.
Okay.
One gunshot detected.
20th and Russell. That's like...
It's that, actually closer to
that's
me.
That's seven blocks away.
Seven...
We're on 20th and Queen.
Eight blocks away. Yeah. It's 8 blocks away.
Yeah.
I forget that you don't live in a weird tangly place like I do. One gunshot detected. According to citizens, just a shot spotter.
Right.
No further news. Report of armed man with a gun. This was about hour and a half ago. 21st and Oliver. Police have received an unconfirmed report of an armed man with a gun. That's as far as that goes. They probably let it go. Or they're just understaffed. It's hot out there.
Yeah.
Actually, whenever I leave from here or whenever I get home from, or when I'm on my way home from work, because I have to take the bus to like a couple blocks south of here. If I'm not taking a Lyft scooter, I'm extremely worried because I can hear everything going on
right
within a fucking 2 mile radius. My sight shit, my hearing is wonderful. I hear the shit before citizens sees the shit.
That's funny.
Let me see some more incidents here. 6 gunshots detected about, I don't want to do no alphabet math, but I'm going to say it's definitely 2 miles from here, north. About a mile and a half. It's a mile and a half. Shot spotter, I'm not going to look it up. I want something relevant to what we're talking about here. I want something with some news. You know, I want some bits and some chunks.
Bits and some chunks. I have some of that bacon in the freezer. Bits and chunks.
Well, there's been mad vehicle crashes, too.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because people can't drive.
No, because there's been mad carjackings by people who can't drive.
Yeah.
And if it's not someone stealing a car from a person in the car, it's people who are just stealing the car unattended.
Right.
Carjackings have been on the rise for like the last couple of years, though. Because before we moved from the store that I'm at, or to the store that I'm at now, it had to be like 6 months before we moved. No, like a year before we moved. 2 cars got stolen in the same day, directly in front of the entrance of my liquor store. Within 6 hours of each other.
Motherfucker went right back. He's like, good, the getting's good here.
Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I can't not hear about people getting their cars.
All them low-hanging fruit. Motherfuckers leaving their car running, going in there.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it happened, too. And then we had to put up signs like, don't be a bitch. Like, after George Floyd got killed,
yep.
I had seen at least 17 stolen cars that I know were stolen because there were no plates on them bitches.
Yeah.
There were liquor stores that were getting looted by people who I know. Or, I'm sorry. There were liquor stores that were ran by people that I know who were getting looted by people who those people that I know confirmed that those cars were stolen because there's no plates on them. But they were all from here in Minneapolis.
Mm. Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
I just want the crime to stop, man.
Right.
There was a feeling of safety here for at least a solid 12 years.
Shit, my car got stolen last year, remember?
Wait, actually, no. Let me think. Because I was getting robbed once a year consistently before I or after I came back from the Army. Until 2006, crime was on an all-time low after that.
Yep.
Until, 14 years. It was 14 years where niggas could just be out on them streets till 5 in the morning and not have a care in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was after 9/11. 9/11 kind of fucking helped everybody chill out for a little bit.
Well, it started before 9/11 because the first time I got robbed after I came back from the Army was about a year before 9/11. I was hanging out with Orlando.
Yeah.
And John, remember John over there on 36?
Yep.
And this random nigga was like, can I buy a bag of weed off you? And I was selling weed at the time because I had nothing better to do because I wasn't working. And I only had so much weed on me because I wasn't really trying to sell it that day. I was just trying to smoke with my boys. And I'm snitching on myself. I don't give a fuck. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll sell you a dime. You know, I reluctantly was like, okay. Dude was like, all right, let's go around the corner behind, he pointed behind John's garage. Like, I'll do the transaction back there. And I was like, you sure we can do it right here? He's like, nah, I don't feel comfortable. Because, you know, it was like me and like 7 white dudes in Orlando. And so I bought it. And Orlando hesitated. Like he was like, hey, don't go back there. And I was like, I'll be back in like 3 minutes, man. It'll be straight. Because I knew I was broke. If something popped off, it wouldn't be that bad. I go back behind John's garage. He goes, let's go back behind this garage, but into like this random yard. It's like, whatever, man. It's weird, but whatever. Go back in there. We're in a random motherfucker's backyard. He pulls out a gun and is like, give me all your shit. It's like, I'm not giving you my wallet, but I'll give you the $3 I got in it and the dime bag I was going to sell to you, I guess. And then once a year after that, rob for shit that I was getting robbed for practice, basically.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you can have my social security card, I guess.
Oh, man.
And then it stopped. And then 3 years in a row, an unarmed black man got killed. And then we got fed up with it, and we broke into some shit, and we rioted. And I'm saying we, generally. We didn't do shit but sit here and podcast.
I have.
But, oh, we did go protest.
Yeah, I would say.
We did face the tear gas and the rubber bullets. You got shot by one, but that was the day of, that was the first day. I was working the first day of the protest.
I think that was the second day.
No, the second day you took off on me.
No, the second day.
I got tear gassed.
The second day I went and then I told you and then I think it was.
No, it was the first day. Because the first day was when that chick got fucking shot in the neck with that rubber bullet.
I don't remember.
That was the one day I missed a protest.
I know, I was there for 3 days and this shit was wild. Wild as fuck.
I wasn't there to see that lady getting hit in the neck with a rubber bullet.
That shit was fucked up.
I don't even know what she looked like, but I could picture the scene perfectly in my head every time you explain it to me. Perfectly. I see the person. I can see a perfect description of them of what I see in my head. Because all you said was a white lady. So I just picture your standard Minnesotan white lady, like some Starbucks-looking chick. She liked pumpkin spice, probably like a brunette
actually,
or
something. Actually, no. She was like a mixed lady. She was just light.
Oh, at least it was a white lady.
No. No, it was a mixed woman.
Somebody said it was a white lady.
I don't know. The white ladies were getting shot.
Perhaps
too,
it was Jasper. All I know is that somebody got shot in the neck with a rubber bullet, and I hope she's okay.
Yeah, there was a lot of people got fucked up and lost eyes and shit because of all of that.
I remember you took off on me for a quick second to go gather some shit, and Jamie asked where you went, and I was like, I swear to God, he was right here. I'm gonna go right over here and find him because I watched him walk this way. I took 3 steps into the intersection. And 2 tear gas grenades blew up in my face. And that was in the brief moment that I talked to Jamie was when I took off all the shit that I had on, like the gas mask and the fucking eye protection shit. And I still had it off when I went to go look for you. And then ka-tink, ka-tink. So like for like a minute and a half, I was in that shit.
Yep.
Luckily, I was trained for it, but it still sucked.
Right.
You have any more bits of local crime you want to talk about, or?
Not really. I
do want to end this subject on one note, which is I want anybody who's listening, who lives here locally, to please encourage an attitude of camaraderie,
right,
and community,
right,
and to be supportive of niggas who have less than you, and to do it without expectation of anything in return, because it will squash a lot of shit that's going on around here. I promise you, if you just show a little act of kindness, because I've witnessed it personally through the acts of kindness I've shown to people in this last year and a half. Before all this shit popped off, I'm nice to people, and they're confused, like, why I'm nice. But during all this time of turmoil and violence and pandemic, one simple act of kindness, give a nigga $1. Somebody asks to buy a cigarette off you, give that motherfucker a cigarette for free. Smoke weed with a motherfucker who you can verify is not C positive at a bus stop, and just watch how you change their entire week. Like, it's mind-blowing, man. Like, just one simple act of kindness changes the whole game. You might have saved somebody's life that day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people got too much shit. We said this before in another episode, like a few episodes back. A lot of people got too much shit on their plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And just by, like, either letting them deal with their shit, or just showing like a little bit of kindness and then just letting them go on about their business might prevent you or somebody else from getting beat up or shot.
Right.
So, you know, just love your neighbor, man.
And snitch.
And I'm not trying to be biblical, but it's human nature, man. Just, we were born onto this earth as human beings, as a herd.
Right.
We took care of each other.
Yeah.
We fed each other. We made sure everybody stayed alive.
Right.
It wasn't until we got all this fucking shit that made us able to be separated from each other, like social media and technology, cars, all that shit, that was able, that's when we started seeking individual independence from everybody and just stopped giving a fuck and started teaching our kids to do that shit. It's time we start giving a fuck again.
And snitching.
I won't say snitching, but definitely.
Snitching. Don't I snitch.
If you have to.
No, snitch, because that's the problem. Nobody gives a fuck.
Well, no, I'm not. Okay, I'm not anti-snitching. I'm not anti-snitching, but I do understand that there's a vast amount of communities that are on that I'm not snitching shit.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to snitch, police your community then.
Yep.
Do something about it for the better of your community that doesn't involve snitching. Maybe confront a nigga who's on some shit before the shit pop off.
Right. But, yeah.
You got a Florida man to end the song with us.
Oh.
Let's end this on a light note. Give us a Florida man.
Okay, well, I have a...
Let's do two Florida men.
I have one.
I got a Florida man.
I got one right here. Florida man. Oh, that's not Florida man. This is Florida. Here it is. All right, I got it. I got one. I just got to wait for my internet to load up.
Yeah, we're in that weird corner of the studio where we don't get no service.
Okay. Florida man plants a banana tree in a pothole in the middle of the road.
I read that one. It's so funny.
Yep.
Why? What purpose does it serve? Is there an article linked to it?
Brian Raymond of Fort Myers has filled many potholes in the street. Tired of it, he has put a banana tree in the latest gravel fissure. Officials say it's a private road and it's not their problem.
It's there now. Fuck it. Everybody likes bananas, right?
Yeah, it says, good morning. I'm Mr. Noel King. Brian Raymond of Fort Myers, Florida has filled so many potholes on a street that it ended up feeling like he was sweeping the city's problems under the asphalt. So recently he decided to cause a ruckus. He put a banana tree in the latest gravel fissure. They keep using that word like it's making them sound smarter. The pothole. Officials say his private road isn't their problem, but maybe this time his antics will lead to...
Oh, he owns the road?
Yeah, but maybe this time his antics will lead to a more fruitful city response.
The officials got game. They got that wordplay. Officials, the authorities got bars.
Yep.
Okay. This one, I'm not even going to worry about the article link. It's just hilarious, and I want to listen to a really good laugh. It was posted 4 days ago on Reddit, but it dates back to January 18th. Florida man arrested for DUI after mistaking bank drive-thru for Taco Bell.
Oh, my God. Damn. He was wondering why he wasn't getting that Diablo sauce, huh?
Had to have been at like 2 in the morning. I'm Sprout.
I'm Jeremy.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter at @nuclear_play.
Yep.
You can follow us individually. I am at I am Sprout on Twitter.
I don't remember my handle very well.
He is Sailor at @Sailor_Jeremy.
Yep.
I have a pretty okay text memory, I guess. We have a website now, nuclearplay.net. Follow us there, or keep an eye on us there. We have episode uploads there. If you don't listen to us on Anchor or anywhere else, you can find a podcast like Apple or Spotify or Google. We also have an article or two up. Well, one article now. We plan on writing more. We got big things going on for our podcast. We're working on some more YouTube content this week.
Mm-hmm.
We advertised some YouTube content a few episodes back.
Mm-hmm.
We did record the content.
Yep.
There were some audio issues. So yep. we're going to redo it. We're going to give you the content that you so desperately wanted, because I'm 100% certain that was our game changer before the podcast. But, we're still going to do the podcast. We're not retiring. We're not hanging up our jersey.
No.
Any announcements? You got any church? You got any announcements?
I've got nothing right now.
All right.
Nothing. All right. Nothing. You guys just enjoy your day, your evening, your work, your whatever you're doing.
Yeah, we're going to start a poll soon here. Very important question, which I will not leak right now because we're ending this. But keep an eye on Twitter. I've got a poll for you guys, which might also involve a lot of what we do here. So thanks for listening. Peace out.
Yep. Peace. Oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
My ass is tired.